Hi, everyone. We're doing it again. It feels good. Welcome back to another episode of Lead Singer Syndrome. I'm Shane Told. I shall be your host once again for this week's episode with John London of Point North. And you know, it's been a weird year, but there has been some really great records that have come out during this pandemic. Maybe because there's not so much going on, I've listened to them more than usual, which is great. I don't know. But Point North put out a banger of an album just a few weeks ago. It's called Brand New Vision. If you like the poppy side of pop punk, this album is especially for you. And Point North has been making waves since they dropped. They started dropping EPs and singles. And here we are now with their first official full length. So that's exciting. And I talked to John all about that. We'll get into that in just a minute. Some news with me, first of all, you know, not a whole lot really, except Silverstein are playing an actual real in the flesh show. Not just a streaming one in a living room or something. We are playing a drive-in concert in Ancaster, Ontario. If you are anywhere in southern Ontario, it's not to be missed. And Ancaster, if you don't know, is kind of near Hamilton, about an hour from Toronto, maybe an hour and a bit from London. So you can get there. It's going to be worth it. We got our friends Rarity opening up. September 25th is the date. I don't know if I said that already. But check it out, because this is like the real thing, you know? Of course, you have to stay in your car. Social distancing measures are in place. But we're going to be rocking on the stage, full PA. Also, the tunes will be coming through your FM stereo in your car. And we got 40-foot screens on either side of the stage, so you can see everything going on as well. So, yeah, if you're Canadian, because Americans sadly can't get across the border yet. But if you're Canadian, if you're in Southern Ontario, or really anywhere, check it out for sure. I don't have a link, but I'm sure if you Google Silverstein Drive-In Concert, it'll pop right up. And pile in the car with your friends. You can fit as many people in the car as there are seatbelts. And yeah, it should be really, really awesome. I am super excited to get back on stage. It has been far too long. If you want to help with the show, you know how you do that. You join the All Access Club, and that gets you bonus episodes, bonus content, a lot of interaction with me, if you're into that sort of thing, interaction with other fans of the show, an amazing community we have. We talk every day on there. It's really, really great. You'll make some friends. You'll hear some cool stuff. And there's lots of other perks, too, that I don't really talk about, but they're there. You got to sign up to find out about them, but also a lot of merchandise will be coming right at you. I'm staring at it now. It's taken up half my office, and it could be yours. All for as little as $6 a month. The link, leadsingersyndrome.com/allaccess. And remember, that is what keeps this going every week for free. So yeah, if you listen to this thing, you know, week after week, and I know lots of you guys do, throw me a bone, check it out. I would really, really appreciate it. And I will thank you personally on our group, leadsingersyndrome.com/allaccess. Also, a shout out to the little sister podcast, I guess we could call it. I don't know. It's a on this feed, it's another thing we do every Friday. It's called This Is The New Shit. So if you want to find out about the new music coming out, and there's a lot of it, there's a lot to wade through. So we've done that wading for you, okay? Wade, W-A-D-E, I mean. So every Friday, have a listen. Me and Mike Howell break it down. In fact, just a couple weeks ago, Point North was number one. They were the number one most anticipated album. So very, very, very cool stuff there as well. If you want to know about new music, and I bet you do, check it out. This is the new shit. Probably just right below whatever you clicked on to listen to this. Have a listen. It's a good time. Also, if you want to get in touch with me, you can. I read all my email. It is leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. or write a review on iTunes as well. That would really help things out too. It just, I don't know exactly, and I'm not super into, you know, podcast metrics and all that stuff, and I don't really know how it works. I just know that if we get a lot of good reviews on iTunes, there's kind of like more stuff going to be popping up, and it'll help with the show and spreading the word, and you can help in that respect as well, not just by writing a review, but telling a friend, telling a loved one, resharing this, posting about it, whatever you can do, all really helps. So thank you, and I hope you enjoy this conversation. Here it is, John London of Point North. If you wanted to write a frame, write your trench wing and gasoline. If what you want is for me to change, how come you never put the match out? Now we both are on fire. Now we both are on fire. And now I'm someone you couldn't say. Since you trench wing and gasoline.
You can hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
What's going on, dude?
Hey, no, not too much. Actually, I think I'm on time. I'm actually calling you on time, but I thought I was going to be a minute late because my my $10 headphones finally bit the dust.
Oh, shit. R.I.P.
No, I had them for 3 years. I did every single podcast with these $10, I believe they're Koss brand, K-O-S-S.
Okay.
Yes, and this is after spending like, I'm not even kidding, like hundreds of dollars on headphones that just kept breaking. Like expensive headphones. I was like,
right.
Like after like a couple months and, you know, one side's like gone, I'm like, I'm not going to solder these back together, you know?
So I went to
like the shitty electronics store in the mall and I got these headphones and 3 years later, they finally broke. That's a good thing.
They've been holding true. That's crazy.
Yeah, man. So, John, it's so good to have you on the show. It's kind of cool. Like, so a couple weeks ago, we started this little extra podcast thing we're doing every Friday where my buddy Mike and I, we discuss like the top five most anticipated albums coming out.
Oh, sick.
And last week, the new Point North record was number one.
Oh, shit. That's rad.
Right? So it's kind of crazy. Like, I feel like your band... Sorry, you're really making a lot of noise. You okay?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm moving around rack gear in my studio right now. It's a mess. I figured I'd kill two birds with one stone.
Right. No, it's cool, man. But yeah, no, I mean, I always felt like your band was pretty under the radar. And, you know, yeah. I guess maybe it was you put out a couple EPs and, you know, a lot of people knew about your band. And like, if you look at things like monthly listeners on Spotify, you know, it was like, okay, something's building here and you guys are on a lot of good tours. But I was surprised that, you know, first of all, that Mike picked it as the number one most anticipated record. And just that so many people were really, really excited about this record that just came out last week.
Yeah, it's crazy to hear. I guess we have the same kind of shock when we hear stuff like that, you know, because, yeah, we were so kind of like under the radar, and we were up and down, and it's been like a crazy emotional roller coaster. I mean, a lot of people like are just finding out about us or have found out about us in the last year, but we've been jamming since like 2017.
Yeah.
And so it's crazy to see it all finally come together and seeing the recognition and people like that are loving the music has felt awesome for sure.
Yeah, I think I found out about you guys listening to like this random Spotify playlist that I like called New Punk Tracks.
Cool.
And yeah, I always like that playlist because they'll have all the big shit that's coming out. Like if fucking Blink-182 releases a song, like it'll be on there, right? But then they always put a few curveballs, like tiny, tiny bands and whatever. And you guys came on there one day and I was like, what is this? Like, I have not heard of this band. This is super good. This is well recorded. This is something. So I looked it up and you guys were on a small label and I just thought to myself, I feel like this band is going places. So, you know, when I started hearing about you guys getting like bigger tours and then signing to Hopeless and everything, I saw the like wheels turning. But you know,
that's sick.
But from, you know, now I've learned so much about you just from getting ready for this interview and, you know, following your career a little bit. I really think it's interesting how you yourself have such a you're so immersed in music production, and you know you've been doing this for a very long time, and you're I think, are you 29, is that right?
29, yeah.
Yeah, you're 29, so you know you're kind of like getting into this frontman game like a little late in your actual music life. You know, usually people start out and they do the frontman thing and then they get into production maybe later on. So it's kind of a different story than most, you know, people I speak to.
Yeah, 100%. It's bass backwards for sure. Mm-hmm. I got into producing first. I just loved writing. I loved making records. I've been doing it since I was like a little kid. You know, I got my first like Mbox 2 Mini recording interface when I was, I think, 14 or something like that. And I charged like $60 per EP when I was in middle school, high school. And I've been doing this for so long. And I ended up going to school for it. I got a Bachelor of Science in Audio Production. I went to an art institute in 2012. And I interned for everyone and their moms. I worked at studios. I was, you know, a studio bitch for a good half a freaking decade.
Right.
And, you know, I just, and then I started my own company like, 2 years ago, almost now. And, but yeah, I was like way, way into my instrument of choice is the studio. It's like, you know, I treat the studio like an instrument. I play it and I like perform on it and stuff. And, you know, I can play guitar, I can play drums, I can play bass, all that stuff. And that like just makes it easier. But yeah, I got into this like way before. I mean, granted, like along the way, I for sure was playing in bands and singing in bands, because at the end of the day, I got into it to record my own shit, which is like, you know, why I wanted to learn how to use gear and like learn how to mix and stuff. So I got into it for that reason. But then it kind of like, it was always the question of, well, what's going to go first, like producing or being in a band? Or like some people are like, yo, your producing is doing really well. Why are you being in a band? And I think the answer is like, I don't know how to not be in a band. I've been in a band my entire life, and it's like a habit, you know? And like, it's just like, what do you mean? Like, I'm in a band. I've been in a band since I was like 12, and I don't know how to not be in one. And, you know, like my whole life has gone by. Yeah, I'm 29. I'm just like, I'm still the band. Like, and it's like, you know, so maybe it's all coming together at like the right time, or like my production meets my band at the same moment, and it's like intertwined in this freaking cosmic explosion. But now it's like, yeah, now it's finally something kind of gave, I guess.
But
so
it's a huge blessing though for you to be able to put out, you know, they're calling it your debut record at age 29. I wish I could go back and do that. You know what I mean? Like, if I could what I did when I was 18 and everyone, that shit's on Spotify, you know, I wish it wasn't. So in a way, you know, you, by it being like a slow and steady, you know, the old tortoise and the hare, slow and steady wins the race kind of thing. Here you are, and you're able to put your best foot forward with everything that you've learned, you know, essentially paying your dues for the last 15 years.
Yeah. I mean, that's crazy when you put it like that, because when I look at it, I'm like, shit, I can't believe I'm putting out my first album at 29. And I kind of wish, you know, but
yeah, well, I mean, there's a little bit of, you know, you say you started your company 2 years ago, so you were 27 or 26 maybe. And a lot of people get to that age and like, I hear people saying they're like, they're 23 and they're like, oh, I'm so old. Like, I'm too old to do this. And I'm get the fuck out of here. But no, seriously though, that is a thing that happens. You know, people get into their mid 20s and it's rare for bands to break, you know, later on like that, because usually by the time, you know, people get to that point, they've kind of found another way to make ends meet. You know, they have some other career, or maybe they're married, maybe they have a kid, you know, and that is obviously a lot harder to get a band off the ground and put in the kind of work and time you have to do it.
Right.
But you are a delightful exception, my friend.
Somehow it like works. I don't know like how. I think I'm just, I'm like blessed with the amount of like time that I have, the tools that I've like bought and developed over the years of like being able to record, and like the fact that like my day job is like my music pursuit, you know, it's like one and the same. So like when I have like days off, or I'm just not doing shit during a day, I'll like come record like a song. It's just great. It's like all right in front of me. It's like, so my job happens to be like what my band needs, which is I think super rare. And it's, yes. We're very lucky.
Yeah, it's true. And I mean, of course, you know all the studio tricks, you know, and you're a singer, you know all the right. studio tricks on how to make your voice sound really good. You know, I
yeah,
don't know, maybe
but don't tell anyone.
You're a Melodyne guy, maybe you're an auto-tune guy, I don't know, right? I mean, yeah. There's these tricks that you know, and certainly you use them, we all use them, but, you know, what strikes me right away, especially listening to your new record, is just... like, you're good. Like, you're a really good singer. And obviously, some people, it takes them years and years and years to develop to where you are. You know, right. Some people don't have the confidence. Some people don't really want to be the singer. You know, right. They're more comfortable being behind the scenes. But, you know, for you right. to come out now at you know, with this new record, and it just... You just shine all over this thing. It's kind of impressive. So I kind of wonder, you know, as a singer, and not, you know, put all the studio stuff aside, you know, how do you, is that just another tool in the box, or is that something that, you know, you've really, really, you know, worked on?
It's something I for sure have worked on. So like, I've been singing for bands for like, probably since I was like 21 or something. So like, not like, you know, like 8 years or something like that, on and off. But I've always been a songwriter and have sung my own songs, and I'm like writing songs even since I was like younger, even if I wasn't singing for bands. I did like do like, you know, elementary school choir. I guess that's like my only like
training.
Where I learned to sing training. Right. Correct.
Right.
And so I don't know. It's really funny. I did have a day job, believe it or not, when I was like 23 to 25, 22, 25. I was in like corporate America, and I was like working like as a lead technician for this like event company at a college. And I had so much time to kill because I would go set up these corporate events, right? Like projector, microphone, and then like F off and go have to hang out in the office for 8 hours till they were done. So I worked at this property, this hotel, where it was just me and this guy, Dave, who I think he was like 65. So it was just me and him. It was like this like really funny relationship,
right.
But like he would never come in, and I would sit in the office and I would just be like, this is not it. Like, I'm just like wasting my whole life. I'm sitting around just watching YouTube videos, like on freaking like Facebook, like watching my early 20s like disappear just for a paycheck. So I was like, not down.
Yeah.
And so I ended up using that time to A, like I was watching every singing video in the world on technique and like how to sing. And I would like, I was in a small like broom closet that was converted into an office. So I swear this thing was like 10 square feet. By myself on the second floor of this small hotel. And so like I would just practice singing like to YouTube videos in this office like 7 days a week when I was at work. And then the other half of the time I would reach out to bands on Facebook and say, hey, let me produce your band. Here's the song I did, like check it out. And then like I would book all this like local band business.
Right.
And that's how it all kind of like, that was finally the push over the hill, I guess, for both careers. And I didn't sing for a band right after that. I actually played drums for a band. Actually, me and Andy, you would love this band. We were in this band called Lesser, and we were like a melodic hardcore band. Yeah, it was like Final Fight or something like that. It was like melodic hardcore. I played drums, and Andy, our guitar player now, he was the front man, and he was like doing like the screaming. Like, it wasn't like screaming, it was like yelling, you know?
Right,
it was hard. It was hardcore. It was sick.
Nice, man.
But yeah, that was, I mean, so yeah, I put in a ton of time on singing. I got obsessed with like trying to sound like a pop star. Like, I was like, how the fuck do you do runs? Like, I still can't really run, but I can do like little triplets and little trills here and there. And I'm still learning, you know, we're always like still learning. But yeah, it was definitely something I killed myself over, was trying to get better. So,
well,
you know, that's what I think you hear on the album is where I'm at now.
Well, yes. And I have listened to this album a few times through, A Brand New Vision, it's called, and it's out now. And I think what strikes me right away, and you said it yourself, you became obsessed with sounding like a pop singer. I was surprised at the level of pop influence that you guys have on this record. It's a super poppy record.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm stoked you think so. Because, yeah, we definitely went for that. I mean, it's like in the middle. You know what I mean? Like, we have, like, big sections, big guitars, big drums, poppy top line, electronic hip hop elements. It's kind of like a big, nice marriage of everything. And it wasn't some, you know, brainchild of mine. You know, like, we're a very collaborative band. So Andy, our guitar player, he's like my best friend. Like, we've been in bands like forever. He is like from like a little bit more of the punk scene, you know, like the right. AFI, Rise, Alkaline, like kind of world. And like, I love those bands too, but like, I just love pop more. And so he brings that kind of like dark edginess to the table, that those 6/8 jams and all that kind of stuff. And I'm kind of like, okay, how do I like hip hop over this? And Sage has got these like gospel-y kind of chops, like our drummer. Right. And he does this like, he just has like, I can hear him drumming, or I can hear drumming on a song, and like, I'll know it's Sage right away by like these signature like fills or over the bar fills he does. Like, he just has his own thing. So we're very like collaborative in that effort. But yeah, the amount of like, because at the end of the day, I'm like, I want to sing like poppy melodies and catchy hooky rhythms and stuff. And we're trying to marriage that with Andy's kind of like guitar style and kind of darker edge. So that's kind of been like the battle, which was really hard to do.
It is hard to do. Yeah.
It's, you know, yeah. So
it's very hard to do it. I mean, you guys did a great job on the record. And I think
the main thing
is that the songs are good. You know, I think no matter what, you know, sort of shine or lack of shine you put on the production, at the end of the day, it's going to boil down to, hey, chords and melody and lyrics. And
sure.
And these songs are really, really good. But I know, I am surprised, like, a little bit. I thought, you know, I was listening to the record. I think maybe it's, I don't know if it's the song Heartbeat or maybe it's the one after that. And, like, it starts to get a little heavy. And I'm like, okay, yeah, here we go. This is, like, the point north that I kind of remember from the EPs.
Right.
Was there a fear that going too poppy was going to alienate the fan base that you've kind of worked so hard to develop, you know?
Yeah.
Especially like with you guys being known still sort of like a bit of a best kept secret, pardon the pun.
Right. No. No. And I'll tell you why. I think that the fans and everyone has kind of come, for the most part, pretty naturally. Like, we've done like a couple tours and like, you know, I think we've done, I call it 2.5 tours. We were on half a tour and then did 2 tours. We haven't toured a lot as a band. It's like super still new to me. And the music, we put out like Retrograde, and Retrograde was like, this kind of weird development of a sound where like, it was just like, we had this epiphany of like, we don't care what everyone thinks, and we're going to do what we like to play. And if we're fans of it, then everyone else can be too. And if they're not, like, we all also don't care. Like, we're doing this because we love it, because like we talk about, like, I'm too late in the game to like care about that kind of stuff. Like, I just like want to make what I like and make what I'm a fan of, because why else am I doing this?
Right.
So making this record, it's all like, it was all like a personal goal, and like it's all trying to beat myself. It's all trying to like, make it like the best. We're like, I'm obviously like, we're our own worst critics, and like, I have the bar set super high, like at least for myself. So I'm trying to like outdo myself and beat myself. And, yeah, I'm not really thinking about, oh, they might not like this, it's too poppy, because like, you know, I mean, I get those comments, and I see them, and they don't really faze me. I'm just like, that's great. I mean, I loved making the album, and I love the album. And obviously if it does great, that's awesome. That's just like a plus for me. But just being able to like write the stuff and like being able to put it out and seeing what everyone thinks. And if people like it a little bit, then it's a success to me. You know, we do this at the end of the day, like, you know, writing music is our passion. I'm sure you can relate. And it's like what we do. And yeah, there's not really a fear tactic of fans not liking it or sounding too different. Like, we want to move in a certain direction, and there is like a strategy there, but it's not based on what we think people will like. If that's what, you know,
totally, what I mean? totally. Well, yeah. I mean, it's crazy. You know, you bring up that you've only done a couple tours, and you know, where were you at in the middle of March when the whole pandemic hit? Were you guys working on the album at that point, or touring, or what were you doing?
So we had just gotten home from Sleeping with Sirens tour in February. Mm-hmm. And then we were like, yo, we have this whole year of like touring like planned. And it pretty much just like all went to shit, dude. It was like so depressing. And yeah. we were working on the last couple tracks of the album. The album was like 80% done. We got home, we like finished it up. I had just like more like vocals to lay down and like editing to do and stuff. And sent that out to get mixed like probably before March even hit really. But yeah, man, we had like four tours. Like our entire 2020 was like booked, and like we were going to like actually like headline like right now. Like right now I was supposed to be like on a headline tour, and we had like these like three awesome tours preceding that.
Yeah.
Over the summer. And so it's super hard, and I know that like we're not the only ones in this position. We know that like a lot of bands are kind of like feeling the struggle right now, but we were excited, and you know, we're just trying to take it day by day, and we're trying to pivot, and we're trying to adapt just like everyone else is, and figure out how you can still, you know, succeed and be, I guess, for lack of a better word, like relevant when you can't get out there. You know, it's tough.
It's definitely tough. And it's funny. Yeah, I guess if COVID didn't hit, you guys would just be super burned out on tour right now. So maybe it's a positive there. I don't know.
I think so. Like, you know, we've had time. Like, I've had time to like spend at home with my girlfriend and like the dogs, and I've had time to work on the house, and I'm building my new studio, and like everything has been like kind of, you know, a blessing in that sense, where I've been able to take some real home time, and that's nice. You know, I mean, that's pretty priceless.
That's definitely great. One thing that you guys did, you know, and it makes a lot of sense, but it's such an amazing gesture, you know, because you recorded the album in your own studio, you guys reserved most of your recording budget to be donated to No Kid Hungry, which is really, really cool of you guys to do.
Thank you, man. Yeah.
You know, especially with younger bands, like, you know, and never not knowing what's going to happen. And like every dollar, every cent you have to, you know, use to try to, you know, go to a new territory or pay for this or pay for that, or like shit, you know, a new trailer or flat tire or, you know, all this stuff. But, you know, you guys put a cause ahead of your own band, which I think is absolutely incredible and really speaks to, you know, who you are as people and what you care about.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah. We always kind of thought about that. I had a project before this band that was like a popular project, and I was like, I'm just going to self-distribute, and like all of like the distribution income is just going to go to this. Because as a musician, like sometimes, and I'm just like speaking for myself, I'm not sure about the guys, but I'm sure they can relate. It's like, it's hard to feel like you're doing enough sometimes and like giving back enough when people think that like, oh, your music is great. It helps me out. It helps me through hard times. I can relate to these songs so much. So thank you for writing them. It's like, awesome. I love writing songs. I do it anyways. I feel selfish that like, that's all I'm really giving for you. You know what I mean? It doesn't feel like enough. And it's, at the end of the day, we're not doctors. We're not saving lives. So we're always like trying to look for different ways that we can give back, and trying to find like a bigger purpose than what we're doing now. We go about like the whole donation process with the thought process of, well, we're all doing fine. Like we're all like grown ups. Like Andy's 27, I'm 29. Sage is a baby, so, but he's like our little brother, so we got his back no matter what. But like, we're like, we're fine. We don't need this money. I'm going to self-produce it. We have this surplus of cash. Like, there are people out there that need this, and we are advocates for tangible change. We don't really like to like just tweet and like post on Instagram, and we will to like, you know, obviously use our platform and like raise awareness for certain issues and stuff. But when we had the opportunity to do this and take that surplus and just kind of donate it to whoever needed it the most at the time, we didn't think twice about it really. So, yeah, it's something that we plan on doing, for every album cycle. It's something that like, you know, we're using Point North as like, it's like this thing. I don't know. It's like that signed by this record label, and this record label is like, here's money. And we're like, great. We don't need it. Here's money to this person. And like, so that if we're put in a position to where we can do that, you know, it's a given. There's like a John Travolta said with, via Hurricane Katrina, he like flew his personal plane to fly supplies in there to like aid all the people from Hurricane Katrina. And he was like on the news, he was like, well, if I'm capable, I'm responsible. And I was like, that's fucking great. And I think I was like, younger than 20 when that happened. I don't know how long ago that was, but that like stuck with me. And I was like, well, if I'm not able to do something, then I'm responsible to do it. And that's just it. That's the bottom line. Yeah. So we're kind of like living by that creed and, doing everything we can, you know. I mean, like the music is one thing. We're trying to write positive messages and uplifting lyrics and, you know, put out a good vibe and, you know, create like a safe space for listeners, but also, you know, create positive, tangible change in the world for people to see and be inspired by and hopefully, you know, do the same thing.
Well, look at you guys, man. This is awesome. You guys, you know, you guys are pretty punk rock. And, you know, being on a label like Hopeless Records makes a lot of sense because, you know, they're, you know, and my band put out 3 records on Hopeless as well. You know,
nice.
they are absolutely all about that. You know, when they used to do the Take Action tour and all the subsidy, you know, stuff and all the charitable causes they did. I mean, it seems like a perfect... you know, marriage relationship that you guys have over there. So it's really, really great to see.
Yeah, 100%. They like matched a bunch of donations. The offices themselves are donating. They're partnering with us on all of our, we do merch items for different causes that they like put up, and they make sure all that stuff is like happening. They set up the actual charity for No Kid Hungry. Like they're super supportive and down with everything we're doing. So yeah, you're right. It is a great match for sure.
Yeah. And speaking of DIY, I mean, you know, you guys obviously write your own music and you record your own music. Mm-hmm. You also print your own merch, don't you?
We used to. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It got too much.
Yeah, it got to be too much, I guess.
Yeah. Well, we had an old member in the band, used to like, do screen printing. So he would do that out of the garage, but he ended up moving back to Portland. And you know, and essentially like leaving the band too. But, yeah, he was like, he printed, God, it was so much before the As It Is tour, he was printing up until like, we were like an hour late for the first show and the first show was in LA. So he was printing and we were all just waiting at the van. Just like, we got to go, dude. And he was just like printing the shirt. Like I'm almost done. And he printed, I swear to God, it was like 1500 hoodies or something ridiculous like that. And, yeah, but it got to be very overwhelming. We did a lot of custom orders. And we did a lot of like, you know, did our own shipping and stuff, and it got to be extremely, extremely overwhelming. So we ended up, you know, parting with Absolute, which was a blessing. And now we just get to like approve a design and poof, there it goes. We're like, wow.
Yeah, I know. That's great. I mean, you know, now it is true. When you do those kinds of things yourselves, then you start to realize like, oh man, like this commission or this, you know, cut is worth every penny.
Yeah, 100%.
Somebody is working very hard to do that kind of stuff.
Sure, you can appreciate it, right?
Awesome. Well, hey, we got... a couple more questions to ask you if you got time.
Yeah.
There's two features on this record. The first one, you know, everybody knows Kellen Quinn. He's a friend of mine, a friend of the show. And, you know, he's the one side of, you know, the record, which, you know, the post-hardcore, you know, screamo, whatever, you know, genre that you would associate Kellen Quinn with. Then you also have, I guess is his name Dwayne?
Yeah, Dwayne, yeah.
Dwayne. I never heard of Dwayne before. And that's completely on, you know, the other side of the coin, you know. And I guess that is a good, if you had to describe, hey, what does the band sound like? Well, maybe those two artists, you know, along
that's
with a few
valid.
Others. That, yeah,
that's,
right? There's something
I never thought of that, yeah.
So
yeah,
talk to me about those two collaborations and how they kind of came. I'm sure there could have been a lot of songs that you could have, you know, worked with some other people on.
No, for sure. Okay, so I met the Sleeping Guys in doing their last album, How It Feels to Be Lost. Me and my friend Zach Cerini like teamed up on that album, and I was with them like every day for like 6 weeks.
So you assisted and engineered the record, or?
Yeah, pretty much. I was like in the room, and I was doing all like pretty much the editing, did some writing, like a little bit, tiny bit here and there, and then did some like production stuff and, basically like assistant engineering. And so it was cool. I got to know the guys pretty well. And, we kind of just hit it off. And like a couple weeks in, as like, you know, I got more comfortable around the dudes, I was like, dude, yeah, I tracked this demo last night. Check it out. And we'll just like slide over this, like, and they're like, oh, this is sick. You know, they're like, this guy, you can sing. And I was like, thanks. And then we ended up actually doing a song together. That wasn't Into the Dark. It was like a Sleeping with Sirens song featuring Point North that like never like saw the light of day, but it's out there and it's like so good. It's like this like super throwback, yeah, like post hardcore song. And I remember because we were doing it at the Madden studio and like they were playing it back and like I think Benji just like walked in and like heard my spot and like looked at me and was like, all right. And I was like, that's so sick. Cause wow. I was like the biggest Good Charlotte fan growing up. It was like a total surreal moment. But anyway, so me and Kellen got super close during that process. And then he was like, we're going to take you guys on tour. You're going to sing on this song and like blah, 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 blah. And I was like, sick. Great. And then like the tour ended up getting booked like a year later, which was like awesome.
Yeah, and then you follow through on that. That's awesome. I mean, a lot of people, it's not that they don't mean well, but it just doesn't always work out in the end. So it's cool you know, that they pushed for you.
Right. And we were pushing too. We were like, let's get this EP out. And let's like, because, you know, Retrograde hadn't come out yet at the time.
Right.
So we put it out. I sent it to Kellen and he was like, I love this shit. This is great. And I was like, cool, let's dip on tour. And so, yeah, we ended up getting the tour, which was like, you know, amazing. And then we had some songs done for the album. Into the Dark was one of them. And we were looking for a feature and it was just kind of one of those things where like the stars aligned and we were just like, okay, I guess Kellen is like, let's ask him if he's down. So I shot him a text and he was super down. Obviously he was back home, I think in Oregon. And he was like, yeah, he flew in for emo night one night. He was here for one night only. He landed, came straight to my crib and we like tracked all his parts and drove him to emo night. We like he did his emo night feature and then the next day we went to Madden, said hi to Zach, and he was working with Nothing Nowhere, said hi to them, and I was like, oh my god, this is great, because I'm a huge Nothing Nowhere fan, obviously.
Well, yeah, you covered them too, didn't you?
Yeah. That was like the first like thing that kind of snapped. And then the record came out great, Into the Dark came out rad, and then we went on the tour. And I think it came out like the fifth or sixth day of tour. So like we had the whole tour to like perform it. And Kellen was like nice enough to come out and sing his parts, you know, for like with the opening band. And it was just super rad. So like, they're just like the best dudes and, you know, we owe them a lot for sure. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much how the Kellen thing went.
Yeah.
So it's freaking great.
That's awesome.
Dwayne's kind of like the same almost story because Dwayne is managed by Madden. So I kind of met him over there too. I forget like how exactly I met Dwayne, but I ended up producing a song for him for his project like over a year ago too. And then that's how we really kicked it off. And I was just like, dude, this guy is insane. Like he is like one of the most talented people like I've ever like seen like perform or like on a mic. And
wow.
he's got this like punk rock, hip hop, Jimi Hendrix thing going. That's like, I don't know. It's just out of this world. And it came down to like a couple choices. I knew it'd be sick to have like a rap feature, like a hip hop feature. And I was like, it's got to be Dwayne. Like, and at the time he wasn't signed to Hopeless because he just like announced that he was just on Madden. But I was like, I don't care. Like, you know, he didn't even do the, I don't think he did like the water parks tour yet. Maybe he did. I don't think so. But I was just like, I want Dwayne on a song so bad. Like, we've got to get Dwayne. And then he came over one day. He was here for, I swear to God, 7.5 minutes, tracked his part and like left. And I was like, dude, you're insane. This is amazing.
Wow.
And then, yeah, he like left. He was down to be in the video. His team was like super cool. And we love Dwayne. And so it was like a super, super honor to have him on the album too.
Well, track one, title track of the record. I mean, this is like a big spot. So that's a really, really cool story. I love that. I love that. No,
yeah,
man, that's great. Okay, well, hey, you can't tour.
nope.
You own your own studio. And obviously, like, everybody knows that you don't like make a record and then put it out the next day. There's months and months of preparation and everything. Is it safe to say or safe to assume that you've that you've already got some new stuff kind of maybe already in the can?
It is so safe to assume that, yeah.
can you talk about anything you're working on or any plans?
Yeah. I'm doing some features that are pretty sick. I don't know if it's I'm allowed to say exactly who, because like I'm still like technically working in sessions with them.
Right.
I actually one of them is today, and they pull up at 11:30. But I will say that I will be doing like 3 collabs features with people in like the EDM world next like month here, which is super exciting. Like obviously like fans of the artists we're doing it with, so it's like super super kind of cool. And then I think I have like, it's just like, it's weird, like the album came out and it was like our management was just kind of getting like, hit up with these like people trying to like write with us I think we're going to be writing with Grandson here pretty soon, which is super exciting. We're like big Grandson fans, and I think we're going to kind of like use these sessions to kind of like, cause you know, it's just like touring. You tour, you have sessions, and you kind of mold a little bit as you go.
Yeah.
So we have some new songs we wrote, and we were thinking of taking Brand New Vision and throwing like a heavier edge on it. You know what I mean? Maybe a little more riffy, maybe a little more like, I'm not going to say metalcore, but like a little more just like riffy like that. And a little more energy and stuff, and just kind of being a little darker and being a little more angry, because we have like a whole back story of this character Drax, who's like that, you know, that robot kid, and their journey at this point is, we're thinking, is going to go a little south for this next record. So we're trying to go a little bit darker and scarier, I think, for this next one, which is going to be cool. It's going to be it's tough. It was tough to find the sound for Brand New Vision.
Yep.
A lot of tense moments and a lot of like friendships on the line. But like I said, like we're all like best friends, and like every time that we have those moments, we only get stronger together, you know? So, it'll just be another one of those moments until we have the first big breakthrough, you know?
Sure. Or what we're... Yeah. I mean, obviously the record is brand new, and yeah. just come out. So, you know, you got a little bit of time to think about it, at least,
right,
and
right.
see what the direction you want to go is. But it is, you know, will be super interesting to see what happens. And, you know, a lot of times with just how frustrating, you know, this year has been, I think the music that's going to be coming out, you know, next year is going to reflect that, you know?
I agree.
I think there's going to be a lot of anger, a lot of desperate sorts of music coming out. I don't think there's going to be a lot of like 2021 summer songs. You know what I mean? I think it's going to be super dark, and that's my shit. So I'm all about it.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. We'll see, I guess. But yeah, I think I agree with you. I think everyone's kind of hunkering down in their own little bubble of, you know, anxiety. It's just like everyone's just kind of stuck at home, and yeah, I totally see it. Yeah,
right. Well, you seem like a pretty well-rounded guy. I mean, are you suffering from any sorts of stuff like that? Because I mean, talking to you, it seems like, well, the guy's super talented. The guy's hardworking. The guy has a fucking degree. Working on huge records, friends with everybody, giving money to charity, trying to make a difference in the world. I'm like, okay, well, there's got to be something. Right.
No, I have really bad breath. No, dude, I don't know. Like when you say it like that, like it sounds like great for sure. At the end of the day, it's like,
of course,
I still have my like, I'm still like in a moment, like a person day to day, and it like it, you know, it sucks to be home. And like, so, I mean, I want to be like on the road so bad. And I do have those moments of, you know, oh God, I was okay. So just a quick side story. I was watching this video of Benny Blanco and Ed Sheeran, and they were talking about how they were, watching, the, Dr. Dre series. Oh, shit. What was it called on HBO? I think. Have you ever seen that?
No. Dr. Dre. Okay.
It's like the Dr. Dre, Jimmy Iovine, like docuseries.
No, that sounds like something I would really want to see. I don't.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh my God. You should definitely watch it. Yeah. It's insane. But anyways, they're watching it and they're on tour with Ed, and Ed is like playing to an arena, and they're in the back watching it. They're watching Dr. Dre and Jimmy Iovine, and they're just like, what are we doing with our lives? And Ed Sheeran's like, I don't know, man, I'll be right back. And then he goes out and he plays to an arena full of people. Like, and so it's like, I think that that kind of feeling like never, ever, ever stops. And I think that's what gets the best of us. And so, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we do as much good as we can. And we try to like I do, you know, with the charities and everything, like we try to make the best with what we got, you know, but sometimes, you know, it ain't enough and it's still tough. But yeah, I think as far as the pandemic goes, it sucks and I'm definitely like feeling it. Definitely just ready to get back out there. So
yeah, I mean, you look
PSA, wear your masks.
Well, thank you for spreading that word. Yeah, it's funny. Yeah. It's funny. I was just at the hardware store, literally like right before I talked to you, picking up some things to do some tile work that I'm working on.
Beautiful.
And right. And, it was Shape of You was playing in the store. And I,
so good.
It always, whenever that song starts, I never remember it's Ed Sheeran. I don't know why. Yeah. I'm always like, oh, this is a good song. Who is this again? And then I'm like, oh, and I hear his voice. And I'm like, oh yeah, of course. Like this is one of the biggest songs, like maybe of all time. And it's true. Like then I was thinking about Ed Sheeran and just how like talented this guy is. Like he's got to be one of the greatest songwriters ever, and all the songs he's written. And then like when he was in that movie that yesterday, I don't know if you saw that movie.
I heard of it.
Yeah, it's where the guy. He's the only one that remembers the Beatles. Like the Beatles don't exist one day, so he just starts ripping off the Beatles, which is like as a songwriter, it's super funny to like imagine if you could do that, you know? Like I think of it in a darker way though. I'm like, okay, I gotta go back in time and like murder John Lennon's parents. Then I'll steal the songs. Like that's you know, but that's a fucked up thing to say. I'm probably gonna edit that out. But it's true. Like, you know, you think about somebody like that, you know, Ed Sheeran is not immune to feeling down or down on himself. Or then you look at Chris Cornell or Chester from Linkin Park.
Chester,
you know,
dude, 100%.
Those people that seemingly had it all. I mean, Linkin Park, one of the biggest bands like of their time, and Chris Cornell, like one of the greatest rock and roll singers ever.
100%.
And they were, you know, they weren't happy and they had it all. And, you know, I don't know. You got to start thinking about that when it's people that are in our position of, you know, being lead singers. And I know I'm not going to compare us to those people, but at the same time, we do, you know, sort of have the same job on a much smaller scale. So, you know, where does, and like you said, it doesn't matter what scale you're at. This depression and you know, suicidal thoughts even can creep in. And I encourage everybody out there to really, really check on that, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I think no matter what capacity you're in, I think mental health is like one of the most important things, like literally in life. And it's so overlooked and it's such voodoo, I feel like sometimes. Because I wasn't raised on like taking care of your mental health or like meditating or doing yoga or anything like that of the sorts. You know, I was just like, I just reverted to self-medication and not going to therapy and like having this like total fucked up childhood. So like, it's definitely something that like, you know, when I do have kids one day, it's like, it's going to be it should be a normalized part of life you know, it's a muscle and it's like something that you should take care of. And it's, you know, especially it's like, I think it's not fair to really say like, okay, yeah, like, you know, if we're like singers, we like need it more or something. Maybe that's the case statistically, but like, I do think that like everyone has the ability to falter with their mental health. And so I just think, it's just something that's super important to take care of. I think it should be way more normalized than it is. I think it's starting to be, it's like refreshing to see, you know, obviously Hopeless is like very behind that and stuff. And we've toured with bands like As It Is, who are like very open and expressive with like their thoughts on mental health and awareness and stuff too. So, you know, that's definitely something that we want to advocate as well. But yeah, it's definitely scary, you know, like thinking about how easy it is to probably get there, especially when people like as big as heroes to at least me, like Chester, got to. So, what do you anything else? Do you like meditate or do yoga or do anything like that?
It is so funny that you asked me if I meditate, because I just talked to Joe from Knuckle Puck and we had the same conversation. He literally asked me that too, if I meditated, and like I am 100% on board for trying that, and that really might be, you know, what I need at this point in my life. Because I had like a moment where I was sort of doing it. I was dating a girl, and she was, you know, super into that, and I got into it a little bit, but like,
nice.
You have to get past. Like sometimes there's a with a lot of this stuff. And maybe you can go back to the way you were raised or just, you know, I'm a very, like, there's a task to do. I do the task and I move on to the next task. Like,
right,
I don't
right,
always
100%.
Think about all the, like, intricacies. It's a very, maybe it's a very male stereotype way to do things. They're very scientific.
Sure.
But, so when I start doing things like that, a lot of times when I start doing them, I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like, I feel ridiculous,
yeah.
you know? Like,
I
got into yoga for a bit, and, you know, when you do the, like, the chanting and stuff, like, I'm in my house by myself chanting, and I'm like, this is ridiculous. Do I really need to do this? You know what I mean?
I hear you.
And, like, but then, you know, it can be therapeutic the same way as screaming into a fucking microphone can be therapeutic, right?
There's, 100%.
There's lots of things that don't always make perfect sense that can be, you know, that can really help you out in your mental health. So I'm completely open-minded to all that stuff. But anyway, go on. You asked me a question. I gave you a very long answer.
No. I mean, I totally feel you. And there was a point in my life too, where I felt the same way about meditation or anything like that. To where it was like, I'm also like super like ADD. Like I was diagnosed as a kid and I was on, I'm not on medication now, but like, I'm definitely like, I don't know. It's like leveled out, I guess, but it was, it's not really a problem anymore. But like reading, no way. I suck at reading. I can't get through 2 pages. I just have to move. I have to get up. It's like impossible. And like, as far as like when I used to like try meditating, it was like, nope, the thoughts are like too fast, too loud. Can't do it. Like, but the thing is, it's not about waiting for those thoughts and those, like, you know, the thoughts to like slow down or be quiet. It's the act of watching them go by and staying present and like letting them happen. And that is the actual act of meditation. You're not waiting to get somewhere. You're just, that is what it is, if that makes sense. Yeah. And so it's important to like remind yourself and when, I guess when I kind of like got over the whole, like, this is ridiculous, like phase of all of it is when I really like noticed like change in it helping. Like I saw a buddy of mine on like one of my first tours would meditate every morning, and just like he got that app called Headspace.
Yeah.
And which is free right now, I think, because of the pandemic.
Awesome.
Because
that's amazing.
So I definitely recommend checking that out. It's great. They have different exercises. And then I do like sometimes this like holistic breathing meditation that's like pretty insane. It's like very emotional and like, you know, it's like you basically overdose on oxygen and you lay there and you get walked through this, like, it's like a gratitude meditation. And it just like takes you back to these moments in your life, and he makes you physically reach out and grab him and put him on your heart. And you're like, all the while you're just like sitting there like all frozen from freaking ODing on oxygen. And you're like, it's intense. And like, you know, I think 85% of the time you end up, you know, crying your eyes out, and it's very gnarly.
Wow. I'm making it out of this. Gratitude holistic breathing is what I wrote. Is that what I Google?
Yeah. So if you want, the actual meditation is by this guy named John Paul Crimi.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's just J-O-N, but try J-E-A-N. But John Paul Crimi is C-R-I-M-I. And it's just like the breath meditation. It's not on Spotify, but it's on Apple Music. And it's like this like multi breath exercise you do for like 5-7 minutes. And then it's like 10 more minutes of like the mental gratitude thing. And you know, you're laying down and you scream really loud and you laugh really loud and you laugh loud. And it's like it's gnarly, but it's definitely like, it's like a hard reset.
Wow.
Like emotionally, I do it like once a month, maybe twice a month, and it's great. So I definitely recommend trying that out.
Okay. Thank you for those recommendations. I'm sure everyone listening to this should be taking notes. You can hit the back 30-second button and catch that again. That's super interesting stuff. I'm definitely going to check it out.
Yeah, for sure.
One more question. Did you pick your phone number? That's just random. I'm not going to say what it is, but that's just random.
That's random. I'm not going to untick it. I know. It's dope. I hear that from every single person who like I text or call, and they're just like, oh yeah, that's easy to remember. I'm just like, yeah.
Super cool. Well, John, thank you so much. The new record, Brand New Vision, is out now. It's a super good record, great songs, and I wish you all the best with, you know, promoting this thing and within a pandemic, and hopefully you can get back out and do some shows and really showcase, you know, what you guys are all about, you know?
Yeah, 100%, man. I really appreciate you having me on the show. I'm a big fan as well, so thank you. This is
thank
awesome
you, man.
For
anything
me.
Else? Yeah, anything else to tell the people before I let you go?
I just want to say like a massive, massive thank you for myself and the guys, just for the amount of support and everyone, you know, listening to the songs and streaming and downloading and buying merch, especially during a pandemic, has been overwhelming to say the least. So I just want to say on behalf of everyone and the whole team, just a huge thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you, John, for putting so much into this, this music and just being an awesome dude.
Well, gee, thanks, man.
Means a lot. All right, man. Well, hey, I'll let you go. Thanks again.
All right, man. Cheers.
So there it is with John. This guy really seems to have his act together, doesn't he? Absolutely love it. And the new Point North album, Brand New Vision, is out now. Give it a listen. See what they're doing. Buy some merch. Support the band. Because they seem to be supporting a lot of really great things out there, which is awesome to see. Next week, I will be back with another very good newer artist as well. So make sure you hit the subscribe button on whatever you're listening to this on so you don't miss it. And that's about it. We did the thing. I will leave you with a tune. Here is Into the Dark featuring Kellen Quinn of Sleeping with Sirens. On Lead Singer Syndrome. Peace and love. We'll see you next time.
Don't wanna say I'm scared. What's it like being broken? I know that life ain't fair, but you're the only one who cares. Yeah, if our pain is shared, you know it's yours, I'm holding. Cause if it's mine to bear, I'm not afraid to be repaired. Cause I'm treading in your way, and I don't want it, but I gotta get it. You know I like it when I'm drowning, reaching for your head like it's all that I can want. I guess I never thought that you could just replace me, erase me. But now, babe, it doesn't even faze me. I kiss you goodbye and move on from the madness. And like a phoenix, I rose from the ashes. Cause I'm treading in your water. I don't wanna, but I gotta, yeah. You know I like it when I'm drowning. Reaching for your hand like it's all I ever count on. I'm always trying to find something. Feeling like I wanna give up. Think I got a problem now. Don't believe in what I can't see. If I fall, I wanna fall free. Even if we never let go, you just gotta say so. Oh, oh. Cause I'm treading in your way, and I don't wanna, but I gotta, yeah. You know I like it when I'm drowning. Reaching for your hand like it's all that I can count. I'm
me